This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Who doesn't love an underdog, a Rocky in the ring? With the audience for boxing eroding, the new ring is an octagonal cage. In popularity and profits, mixed martial arts, or MMA, has knocked out boxing over the past decade. The Ultimate Fighting Championship, MMA's flagship event, was sold for $2 million in 2001. Today, it's worth an estimated $1 billion. Our guest today is a definitive UFC underdog. He is a writer who dove, George Plimpton style, into the grueling world of MMA and landed in the octagon. I'll leave his introduction to the pros.
Into the ring this evening wearing the black trunks, and he's representing Extreme Couture. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Matt Pauly!
Matthew Pauly tells a story of his odyssey in a new book called Tapped Out. Matthew, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Matthew, when we talked about this segment in our editorial meetings, there's a clear perception from some of us that mixed martial arts is a really brutal sport, far more than boxing. We mentioned it was once called human cockfighting. Is it a fair assessment?
Actually, the weird thing is it seems more brutal than it is. And in a weird way, mixed martial arts is actually safer than boxing for the very simple reason that people get hit in the head less. That doesn't mean it's safe. It's not golf. But boxing is actually much more dangerous to the long-term health of the participants than mixed martial arts is.
For a period in the late 90s, MMA, mixed martial arts, was banned in nearly every state. Now it's gone pretty mainstream. So what prompted the turnaround?
The big change that happened, I think it was partly just marketing. When they first started out, they marketed it as this brutal gladiatorial sport. But then they started adding rules, and they started to get sanctioning. And so the overall perception changed, and people realized the truth, which is, you know, when you throw in wrestling and grappling as a combat sport, it actually makes it safer.
Now it is also very big business, outpacing boxing even, and you point out bigger earnings than the Red Sox. It's hard to believe around these parts.
Well, I'm not going to say anything about the Red Sox in your parts or mine. I live in Connecticut, so I do know how popular that is. But it's a $1 to $2 billion company, the UFC, and they're doing events nearly every week. And with pay-per-view numbers in the $20 to $40 million a night area. So it's become really huge. And amongst men sort of 18 to 34, it's the hottest sport in the country.
And very male-dominated, yes?
Well, yes, to a certain extent. But as I write in the book, there are a lot of female MMA fighters. Gina Carano, who I talked to in the book and met, is now starring in the movie Haywire that Steven Soderbergh directed. And the women have often proved to be much more exciting and more technically skilled fighters than many of the men.
Well, you joked that before starting this project, writing the book and getting involved with mixed martial arts, you were much more fond of Chinese takeout than Chinese martial arts. How did you convince yourself to do this? Never mind your family.
I found it terrifying. It was a real adventure because when I started, I was 36 years old and firmly into middle age and middle gut. But I thought this was sort of my one last chance to see whether or not I still had it in me. I wrote a book, American Shaolin, mm-hmm. about 2 years that I spent training kung fu with the martial arts monks in China, but then I was 21, 22. So I kind of felt like the ex-high school quarterback who got called up to play with the Patriots.
Well, you were no stranger to martial arts, as you wrote in American Shaolin. And it's also another immersion book, you know, into studying with these Shaolin monks when you were a much younger man. Now, when did this turn for you from writing a book to really wanting to fight, to be a champ?
I think every fighter has that I've got one more left in me feeling. But I have to say, when I met George St. Pierre, GSP, mm-hmm. as his fans know him, and I watched him train and saw just how good they were, I had two feelings. One, I wish I'd started earlier, and two, I realized I would never be a champ. But three, I just admired the incredible athleticism of the best fighters in mixed martial arts, and I kind of wanted a piece of that myself.
We're speaking with Matthew Pauly, who lived the life of a mixed martial artist, and writing his new book, Tapped Out, brings a whole new meaning to immersion journalism. Well, let's talk a little bit about GSP, George St. Pierre. I mean, there are a number of archetypes within the ranks of MMA fighters, but he is surprisingly contemplative and sensitive. So tell us about meeting George St. Pierre, or GSP, this is a French-Canadian UFC champ.
Yes, from Montreal, yes. I think one of the interesting stereotypes that I found completely busted was this idea that they were all kind of brutish, back alley street brawlers. GSP, when I met him in New York City, was incredibly thoughtful and sensitive. I made a remark about how, the hometown crowd loved him, and he seemed hurt. He's like, "Well, I hope everybody thinks I'm a champion."
Hmm.
And I think the best champions of the sport are incredibly thoughtful, interesting, and they're always thinking about how to be better. They don't think about beating someone up. They think about what's wrong with their game, and that's what makes them champion.
Yeah, in fact, I think it was one of your trainers that said to you, there's a difference, Matt, between being a fighter and a martial artist. What is that difference?
One of my trainers, Joey Varner, when I was training at Randy Couture's gym at Extreme Couture, said to me, a martial artist tries to improve himself. He fights himself, and a fighter fights other people. And one of the things I took from the journey was that deep down inside, I wanted to be a martial artist. But this journey was about improving myself and becoming a better man. And it wasn't about winning a fight or beating other people.
But eventually you did actually enter into the ring. How long did you have to train before you got in there?
I spent 2 years. I probably could have done it quicker if I'd been in better shape when I started. But I was 250 pounds when I started training, and I ended up fighting at 185. So a tremendous kind of physical change and also emotional change. And then I did get in the ring for the final chapter of the book, and fought a man who was 15 years my younger.
Okay, well, everybody's dying to find out what happened. So a little bit of a play-by-play here?
Yeah, we give a little spoiler alert. It was interesting because I was wearing contacts, which right before the fight they said you're not allowed to wear, but I managed to get in the ring. And my opponent was very good. He had a really good right hand, and he knocked out one of my contacts in the early round. So I lost all depth perception. And he hit me several times where the lights went down. I was nearly knocked out. But at the end of the second round, it was technical knockout victory, TKO'd him.
Well, let's hear a clip from the obviously ecstatic announcer from this fight.
Yeah,
he's just leaning. He's got a little Matrix in him here. Little Neo. Oh, he takes a right hand and looks at the referee like, "Did you hit me?" Pauly just an onslaught of punches. The referee has to pull Pauly off. My life has changed now that I've seen. If Pauly can do it, I can do it as well.
He is every man.
He is every man. Wow. So you did it. I mean, the announcer almost sounds shocked that you're getting ahead here.
They were. When they first started out, it was funny because they were like, "Oh, this is kind of a joke." But as they saw what I could do in the ring, they got more and more excited. And by the end, when I watched the clip much later, I was like, I should give those guys money. they were great and very supportive. But I think the idea of if he can do it, anyone can do it, it really should be the theme of the book because you don't know what you have in you unless you try. And if you work hard enough, amazing things can happen.
All right. I want you to sell me on mixed martial arts. Like, why is it more sophisticated, more interesting, more, you know, what makes it a kind of superior sport? Is it this kind of martial arts idea that it's about the discipline of the fighter themselves?
Well, the amazing athleticism and how hard the fighters work is something. But I think what makes it more interesting to me, who used to be a big boxing fan, is just how many of the traditional arts have been brought into it. So you will see fighters who are doing Thai kickboxing and wrestling and Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but then someone will bring in a move from traditional karate that you haven't seen before. And so thousands of years of martial arts have all been kind of combined and put in this petri dish of the octagon. And that, to me, is what's fascinating, is that you're always surprised. You watch a bunch of them, and then suddenly you see something you've never seen before. And that's, to me, why it's still very interesting to watch.
Well, Matthew Pauly, champ and everyman, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Matthew Pauly, he's written for Slate, Esquire, and The Nation, among other publications, and is author of American Shaolin, and most recently Tapped Out, Rear Naked Chokes, The Octagon, and The Last Emperor, An Odyssey in Mixed Martial Arts. You'll find a link to more in the book, including videos of Matt training. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. And coming up, Lego lovers build their own Super Bowl. This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio and online at wordofmouthradio.org.